Pastor Russell, it is really good to be back with you guys for Missions Month. I didn't realize it was 5 years. Boy, it took you 5 years to forget how bad I did last time, and then you come and think, that's why you didn't have me. That's a joke. Well, you guys are like quiet today. All right, well, we're going to have to mix things up a little bit. I'm Bob Felder. It's great to see you. I want to share just briefly about our ministry. This is our 31st year of ministry on the campuses of Miami-Dade. College sharing Jesus Christ. When we first got here, our oldest daughter, Kelsey, who's on the end there, she happens to be the shortest, she was just 1 year old when God called us to move from New Jersey to come down here in Miami and start a campus ministry here at Miami-Dade. And so there are kids now. WAVE stands for, does anyone know what WAVE stands for? WAVE stands for With a Vision, Evangelize Students. And that's the vision that God gave us when we came to Miami-Dade, and I could go into stories and stories and stories, but I don't have a lot of time to share the testimony. But it's just amazing how God has used us to reach people with the gospel on the campuses. I'll give you a brief update on our children. Kelsey, the shortest one over there, 31, I think, right? 31 now. She is working on her doctorate in animal behavior, living with us here in Miami. It's kind of a good thing. Not that COVID's a good thing, but she was going to go over to the UK to begin that program, but because of COVID, the things were locked down there, so she does everything really online and does her research over on the property of Zoo Miami, which she worked at for a number of years, so they've opened up things for there. She's not actually working with the animals in the zoo, but on the property of the zoo with the strangest thing she's doing research, gopher tortoises. Does anyone know anything about gopher tortoises? I don't know anything about them. But supposedly they're endangered and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, she's there doing that. You can pray for Kelsey. Kelsey, just this week, a few weeks ago, they found out that she had a little basal carcinoma or whatever, some kind of cancer on her nose. And they did surgery this last week. And they actually had, it's Mohs surgery where they cut out more and more each time and look at it under the microphone. Well, they cut out under the microscope, not the microphone. Anyway, they ended up cutting out a lot around her nose where they had to take cartilage from her ear and use it for her nose and also skin graft from her cheek and put it on there. So when I first heard they did all this stuff and she had this big bandage on, I'm like, oh, this is not going to look good. But actually, it took off the bandage. It didn't look too bad for all they did, but that God would just pray that God would heal that and it would heal well on her nose. Our middle child, Molly, is next to her. She's a pediatric ICU charge nurse in Orlando, just completed her master's degree in infectious diseases, and she's going to be doing something she always wanted to do. She's going to be joining with an organization called Mercy Ships. Mercy Ships is a Christian organization that goes around the world in ships and provides medical assistance to places that don't really have any medical provision. So she's going to be going to Senegal. That was supposed to take place already, but it's been pushed back to January where they get a ship ready for her. That's what's up with her. Haley, my youngest, she's a licensed mental health counselor in the Orlando area also. That's her husband, Zach. My wife, Sheila, is there. She's active in ministry with us, mainly taking care of all the books and things and making sure we don't get in trouble with the government. Does a good job with that, but she's also an assistant principal over at Florida Christian School. So that's kind of what's up with the family. For the last year and a half, we've been off the college campuses in person because pretty much things have been shut down. We've done a lot of Zoom sessions and keeping up with students via phone calls and texting and all that kind of stuff, which is really great because it's opened up our ministry to a lot of students who have moved on and transferred and things like that, jobs and whatever, that we can still keep up with them in the ministry doing Bible studies and stuff. But also, it's great to be back on campus. All these pictures are of this semester. We're back on the campuses of Miami-Dade, Kendall, and the North Campus full-time, and sharing Jesus. That's what we like to do. Our small staff and our bunch of volunteers and me share Jesus on campus with students every day. We have a great relationship with student life and professors. This guy in the middle, his name is Dee. He was in our campus ministry years ago, and now he's kind of like one of the guys who's head of security over at Miami-Dade North Campus. We're back on campus, but if you look at that top left picture, I'm talking to three students there, but if you look down the hallway, there's like nobody there. I'd say right now at this point, it's kind of like a lot of churches in that students coming back to go to school They kind of weigh out, do I take two buses to school, take a class, and take two buses home, or do I sit in my pajamas and do the class remotely? Many are opting for the latter, to sit and stay in their pajamas. So I'd say right now, if you went on the campuses of Miami-Dade College, I would say maybe there's only about 10%, maybe 15% of the students who are normally on campus there. Many times at the beginning of the semester, it's impossible to find a parking spot. Right now, you can almost park anywhere you want, as close as you want, because of the way things are right now. Some other things that I've been involved with in ministry over the last couple months, I actually shared with a group here at Chinese Baptist Church for a couple Fridays. We did a couple Zoom sessions on sharing Jesus, how to better share your faith. I really enjoyed that. Plus, I also spoke to a couple groups of Florida Christian School. I spoke to the faculty and staff one day in helping them better share their students, their faith with students and parents. That was great. I also spent a day with one of the biology classes doing seven periods back to back to back to back on the topic, is faith reasonable in a scientific world? So it's been kind of busy for us in doing that, but it's always great to come back here and be with you guys. We appreciate all you do. We do a lot of ministry with college students, but we couldn't do that without people just like you giving and praying for our ministry and even being involved in our ministry. Crystal, I don't see Crystal here, but Joe's wife, she was very active in our ministry as a student years ago, and then helping out as a volunteer, and you know, we kind of move on to different things. She's doing her PA, I think she's a PA. Right, okay, I'm getting a thumbs up. Okay, stuff like that. So she's kind of can't be involved in our ministry as much, but it's always been good to have people like that involved in our ministry. Now, just last week, Pastor Russell reached out to me. I guess the guy who is going to be here couldn't make it because of COVID reasons, so he asked me to share, and I'm more than happy to come share with you guys. And this week ended up being a super busy week for me. I was out all night Tuesday, all night Wednesday, all night Thursday, and yesterday I spent my entire day either driving up to Orlando, meeting with people in Orlando, and driving back from Orlando. Got back about 12:30 last night. So I realized early in the week that for me coming up with a brand new sermon, it's probably wasn't going to be as good as some other things that I've preached in the past. So I'm going to share with you, I'm plagiarizing from a message that I originally shared with you guys in my very first sermon here at Chinese Baptist Church. Now, here's the deal. If you remember that sermon, praise God, right? It's a win, because who remembers any pastor's sermon, right? Like you don't even know, like on Monday, you know, somebody's, how was church? Great. What did I speak on? I have no idea. So if you remember my sermon, great. If you don't remember my sermon, well, I probably shouldn't have said anything right now. But anyway, so I'm going to be sharing from God's word, from something I've shared before. And we're going to start out talking a little about obedience. Obedience. We're going to be looking at Luke 19, 1 through 10. But let's take a second and pray first. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, as Pastor Russell had prayed, that it's true and alive and powerful. And we pray that we wouldn't just hear your word, but we'd be doers of your word, Lord, that we wouldn't just be entertained on Sunday, but we would be challenged by your spirit and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I happen to put up a couple pictures of there. Obedience. How many of you guys got a really obedient dog? Anybody? Any of you guys got like a non-obedient dog? All right. There's usually dogs somewhere in between. My dogs are kind of like okay. They're okay, you know. In fact, Tiger, I by the way, you guys know this. I'll use any excuse to talk about my dogs, okay? So Tiger's over here. This was taken a little while ago, kind of a while back. You can see that's the day he won his first 5K, K9 5K. Got a little medal around his neck, kind of a teamwork thing. He's got his paw on my shoe saying basically, hey, you help too, owner dad. That's kind of cool. Anyway, it's kind of proud. It's kind of good to be proud of your dog. Here, our two dogs now, they're kind of mascot of the cross-country team that I coach. They hang out. And I'd love to bring my dogs around other people, because people usually go, man, your dogs are great. They're so obedient. And they don't really know my dogs. My dogs aren't that obedient. My wife always says that the dogs are my dogs. because they're not always obedient. But they come across as obedient, and it's always good for an owner to have like obedient dogs because it says something about the owner, and it says something about the dog. So when I hear people go, oh, Bob, your dogs are great, I kind of go, yeah, obedient, praise God. That's a great thing. But today, we're going to talk about how the obedience translates into our lives, okay? So we're going to read Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and then I have another passage in Scripture, John 20, 21, and so we'll go from there. So this is what it says in Luke 19, 1 through 10, a familiar passage for most of us here. This is what it says. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay in your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they complained, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Think about that. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, if we were to just kind of do a Q&A time or just kind of get your opinion, and we said, why did Jesus come? We'd have all different kinds of answers. He came to do healing. He came to all this kind of thing. You know, people would be all over the place. But the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, that was Jesus' number one purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I hear that, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that reminds me of dogs again. It reminds me of hound dogs. You know, we had the Surfside building collapse. What did they bring in? They brought in rescue dogs. They brought in these dogs, these hound dogs, that went out to try to find survivors. Anytime there's a calamity, an earthquake, an avalanche, a flood, there's these dogs that come in that are hound dogs that look to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, here are some examples of different types of dogs that I would call hound dogs. Not all of them are classic hound dogs, but you see them there. One's diving into water. One's in the a couple are in the snow. A German Shepherd. Classic example, get it? God, like if Jesus is the shepherd, German Shepherd, okay, German Shepherd, a bloodhound up there. Those are what I would call your classic hound dog kind of dogs. Dogs that are designed and trained to seek and to save the lost. To seek and to save the lost. You know, when I was up a while ago, I spoke in Alabama, middle of nowhere, Alabama, a small town called Pisgah, Alabama. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this guy. His name is Roy Nelson. Roy Nelson was the founder of Melting Pots Restaurants. Had that for a number of years, sold the chain, and with some of the money that he had, or all of it, I don't know, he started a Christian retreat center in Pisgah, Alabama, and he also trained rescue dogs. So, I don't know the connection, you know, if you like dogs or whatever, but that's what he did. And so I was asked to come to speak to a bunch of young people for a week, and I went up to his camp. And it was fairly just new at the time, kind of rustic and things, but he did have the dogs at the camp. And I remember being picked up late on a Sunday night and going up to the camp. Now, the weather, I think it was like March, and, you know, down here, March is kind of nice. Up there, middle of nowhere, Alabama, in the hills, it's pretty cold. So I land in a place called in Scottsboro. We drive on up for like a half an hour. Then we on an interstate. Then we take a back road up for about a half an hour in the middle of nowhere. And I get in at about 1 a.m. So they point me toward my cabin, and it's a cabin with a bunch of students, young people in there. They have like think of a cabin maybe, oh, I don't know, about twice the size of this platform here, and there's bunk beds that go up about 3 high across the walls, and there's a bathroom in the back, and a nice kind of a heater kind of thing over here, and the door's over this way. And so I climb up to my bunk, get myself settled, trying to stay warm, put a hat on my head, because bald people have to do that when it's cold. Anyway, and so I'm just about ready to sleep, and I feel, kind of sense, the door opening to the cabin, because it's cold out, and you kind of feel that rush of wind come in. And I hear kind of like dogs, you know, click, 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 walking on the floor, and I get that little bit of a dog smell too. I'm like, oh, okay, okay. So I wake up in the morning, and there's like 5 of these hound dogs kind of huddled near the heater in the cabin. And I'm like, pretty cool. You know, people are letting the dogs in, making sure they don't freeze outside. It's a very cold night. And that's kind of good, yeah. Then I go to breakfast, eat breakfast, get to know some of the people there, get kind of the orientation a bit. And I come back out, and I see some of the young people with their paper plates from breakfast feeding the dogs, like some eggs and toast and stuff like that, because I felt that the dogs weren't getting fed enough, and of course, dogs kind of beg for food and things like that. So I'm thinking, well, this is kind of okay, I guess. You know, then the dogs come in, and they're feeding the dogs and stuff. All right. Well, then in the afternoon, Roy Nelson takes us all aside. He says, listen, glad you guys are at camp. It's going to be a great week for you, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, I want to let you know, I have hound dogs on the property. Most of you have probably already seen them. And he says, I want to let you know, these dogs are bred and trained for the purpose of rescue. And he says, you know what? I know you're trying to be nice to my dogs, but don't bring them inside. We have a place for them to sleep outside. They've got fur and everything. We got the bales of hay set up just right. They're used to that. They're used to being out there. They're not going to freeze. They're outdoor dogs. You don't have to bring them in. If you bring my dogs in, they're not going to want to go out. When we call them to go do something, if they're called to some kind of mission, they're going to go, nah, I think we'll stay in nice and warm, kind of huddled by the fire, and it won't be very good for them or for others. And he said, if you feed them, I know you're trying to be nice, you're trying to feed the dogs, great, but if you feed them people food, they're not going to want to eat dog food. We have special dog food for them. It keeps them lean and in shape and all this stuff. And he says, if you start feeding them other stuff, you know, they're going to become picky. They're going to want to eat food that's bad for them. They're not going to do their job because you've started feeding them things they don't need. So he basically implored us, don't feed the dogs. Don't bring the dogs inside. These dogs are bred for a purpose. They're hound dogs. They're bred for a purpose. That's the purpose of a hound dog. Now, if we look to John 20, 21 says this. This is Jesus, right before he ascends up into heaven. This is right near the end of the book of John. And Jesus said this, as the Father sent me, I also send you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. All right? What was Jesus' purpose? The Father sent Jesus to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save that which was lost. All right, so what is our purpose? Our purpose too, is to seek and to save the lost. That is our purpose, brother and sister in Christ, as believers, is to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, I want to let you know there's a problem with that, in that this, two things under point number 3, problem. In some ways, we as believers, we become little yappy dogs. Any of you guys have a little yappy dog? Come on, I know somebody here has a little yappy dog, probably, right? You have a dog like that? And you guys have to put a coat on your dog? Nobody? I want to let you know, if your dog needs a coat, it's not a dog. Dogs come with coats. Did you know that? They call them coats because they come with coats. You don't need to put a coat on your dog, right? Up on the left, there's a dog with a life jacket, okay? If your dog needs a life jacket, you ain't got no dog. I don't know what you got. But under the definition of a dog, what does it say? It says canine, four legs, tail, and can swim, probably, right? Because dogs like to swim. My dog Tiger loves to swim, loves to go out in the water after a ball. Loves, just enjoys that so much. All right? So if you have to put a life jacket on your dog, oh, that one's got a shark fin. Cute. Okay. If you have to put a life jacket on your dog, probably not a dog. Again, sweaters on dogs. Very cute. Very cute. But if you need something like that for your dog, you don't have a dog. All right? Here's another thing. If you need to put your dog in a stroller, it's time to trade your dog in, right? I mean, who pushes their dog in a stroller? You take your dog for a walk, right? You're both supposed to walk, not put the dog in the stroller so a cat doesn't attack it, okay? You put your dog and let him out on the ground. Now, there's a lightweight pet stroller from an old magazine that I saw, a little catalog. They wanted $129.95 for a pet stroller, all right? If your dog needs a stroller, it's not a dog, all right? I'm sorry, I'm half joking. I don't want to offend you if you do that, but just let you know, challenging you on that. Okay, and the other, pet staircase. I like what it says here. Sturdy, lightweight pet stairs help pets climb onto furniture otherwise difficult for them to reach. Don't you want your dog to stay off the furniture? You know, you got steps to put your dog on the furniture. What's up with that? If your dog can't jump up onto the couch or whatever you let them climb on themselves, that's not a dog, all right? Dogs can get up there, no problem. So the reason why I bring this up is because lots of times we as believers, we're called to be hound dogs. But you know what? We get used to being indoor dogs. We forget our purpose is to go seek and to save the lost, and somehow we think our purpose is to come to church. Now, coming to church is good, but if we're just coming to church for the sake of coming to church, if we're not careful, we can become little yappy dogs. Little yappy dogs complain a lot. You know, owners with a little yappy dog, when that dog goes, yip, 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 the owner goes, what do you want, Fluffy? What do you want? Would you like a little treat? Would you like this, that, and the other thing? Would you like that? I can guarantee you that those hound dogs, the owner, when the dog barks, they go, what would you like, Tiger? What would you like, Brutus? You know, no. It's the little yappy dogs. What do you want? What do you want? Now, I'm not going to interview Pastor Russell right now, but I'm sure there's some people that that Pastor Russell and Pastor Wong and others who hear from congregants all the time from all different kinds of reasons complaining about the church, right? It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. We sing too many worship songs. We don't sing enough worship songs. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. And if we're not careful, brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we can be well-intentioned, we become those little yappy dogs because we're so used to being inside. And rather than looking out at the world that needs Jesus Christ, we look in and we say, how can I make this church the church that I want it to be so I can be comfortable in every way that I'm used to? Now, those things are important. It's good to have feedback in our church. But if we're just complaining all the time, you know what we're doing? We're looking within and not without. We're called to seek and to save the lost. So, number one problem is we can become little yappy dogs. Number two, we become fat and lazy dogs. Roy Nelson was concerned that his dogs would become fat, lazy dogs. You ever see those movies or TV show where they have those big old hound dogs just kind of sitting on the porch? You know, big dog just kind of laying on the porch. It's like, oh, he's too lazy to get up and do anything. We become fat and lazy. All right? Have you ever seen dogs that look like this? Maybe your dog looks like something like this. All right? Fat, lazy, eat too much. Friend of mine, she had a rescue dog. The dog weighed 40 pounds when she got it. And she was like, oh, he needs to eat and stuff like that. And then the dog got to 50 pounds. And then the dog got to 60 pounds. And she would show me pictures of the dog. Here's my dog. And I'm like, you know what? You're feeding that dog too much. Oh, no. It's just fine. It's fine. We don't get out of it. Doesn't walk very much. Doesn't like to go for walks. And now the dog is 70 pounds. And the vet is saying, you need to feed your dog less and get your dog some exercise. And she's coming around to saying, my dog is fat, right? Now, it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like the dog went from 40 pounds to 70 pounds overnight. It was a slow, gradual process that took place where the dog just kept getting fed and didn't get any of the exercise. And it looks like almost like some of these dogs here, just too heavy, too fat, too lazy to get out and do anything. And it kind of breathes in itself. You know, if you don't get out, if the dog didn't get out, so the dog doesn't want to get out. Well, you know what? I think that can be related to us as believers in the church. You know, we want to get fed in the church, right? The church is a great place to get fed, to get into God's word, to grow, and to fellowship. But if all we're concerned about and all that's on our mind is getting fed, we will become fat, lazy dogs. Some people move from one church to the other or complain about their church because they'll say something like, you know, I was going to that church and I just wasn't getting fed. It's like, feed yourself. Here's a Bible. Open it up and start feeding yourself. Don't be spoon-fed all the time, waiting for the pastor or some Bible teacher to teach you something. Open God's word. So yes, it's important to get fed, but if all we're doing is getting fed, we'll look like that spiritually. Fat, lazy dogs. Fat, lazy dogs. So, I want to encourage us today in a couple ways. Number one, understand that God wants you to be hound dogs for him. He wants us to be on a search and rescue mission all the time. All right? We can get caught up, though, in other things. You know, they've said there's books and things like that to say sometimes we can get caught up so much in doing the good, we neglect doing the best. Is it good to have a job and to provide for your family and to have a roof over your head? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it good to go to church? Yes, absolutely. All these things are good. But the best is to be that hound dog for Jesus, working together with him and the power of his Holy Spirit to seek and to save the lost. And I want to tell you, when you're in the seeking and saving the lost business, life is exciting. Your eyes are opened. When you see people, you look at them not as the people with the flaws in their life, but you look at them as people who need Jesus Christ. Last night, my wife and I were meeting with a couple at Disney Springs, and I stood there for a while. My wife was in the restroom, and I stood there for a while, and all these people walking back and forth. And, you know, what do we normally think? Oh, gee. What are these people doing here? Why do they come when I come here? Man, the lines are long, this, that, and the other thing, pushing me, stuff like that. I better hold on to my wallet. Somebody's going to pickpocket my wallet. Where do we go? Wow, look at this lost mass of humanity needing Jesus. Do we have those eyes that kind of look out as Jesus looks out? You know, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. We're called to seek and to save the lost. But just like those hound dogs, we're called to be hound dogs. We have to be careful that we don't become those little yappy dogs and we don't become those big, fat, lazy dogs. Well, how can we be a hound dog? 3 points to becoming a hound dog. Number one, pray. Pray. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the field. Pray. pray for people to go out with the gospel. Pray for the people that you know. I want to encourage you. Pray for the people that you come in contact with every day. You know, outreach is not just something we do on a certain night of the week or a certain day, or we send missionaries to do. Outreach, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The idea is to, as you are going, go into the world and preach the gospel. You know, the early church in the book of Acts, they were real comfortable in Jerusalem. They were called back. There's that kind of a festival that had to go around Pentecost and stuff like that. And we see that the disciples were speaking in known languages, and that the church was growing in Jerusalem by thousands. Well, because all these people made like a pilgrimage to Jerusalem at that time, and they were getting really comfortable living in Jerusalem, hanging out with a bunch of Christians. They're like, wow, this is so cool. We come to Jerusalem, and there's this movement taking place. I want to stay here. And God had to go, no. This gospel needs to go into the earth. So you know what we need to have? Persecution. All right? It's like, then we see Christians being killed, and what happened? The church was forced to scatter and to go out. Pray for people. Pray that God would give you opportunities to share your faith. Pray that God give you the words. Again, all the stuff we're caught up in every day, you know, making a living and all that kind of stuff. Yes, that's the good. But if we can incorporate our prayer life into everything that we're doing, we're going to see God do something not just good, but the best in your life. Number two, give. Give. I appreciate the support that Waves gets from Chinese Baptist Church here in Miami. It's a blessing, and it keeps us being able to do what we do full time. Give. Seek the Lord. Say, God, how do you want me to give what I have? Now, yes, the Bible does talk about, you know, it mentions that we should leave an inheritance for our children and this, that, and the other thing. But it's kind of off the record. Don't get carried away, right? You know, sometimes people give their kids so much money, they end up being spoiled, not saying anything. How does God want to use you to invest in his kingdom? Yes, invest in what you have, invest in your family, and this thing, you know, but invest in God's kingdom. How does God want you to invest in his kingdom? My daughter, as I mentioned, Molly, is going out with Mercy Ships. Mercy Ships has people give so they can go into all the world and preach the gospel through medical care. There's all different kinds of ways you can give. Continue to give to the church, and the church will give out. I challenge you to give maybe more than what you've ever given before in the next year. Rick Warren, who was the founding pastor of Saddleback Church, is that right? Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life and Purpose-Driven Church and all that kind of stuff. And Rick would tell you that he and his wife made the decision when they got married to every year give a little more, every year, with the premise that they could not outgive God. So every year they give a little more percentage of their income, just a little bit more. You know, started out with like 10%, moved up to maybe 10.5%, 12%, on and on and on, with the idea that they could not outgive the Lord. And Rick would tell you that, how did he write that book, The Purpose-Driven Life? He says, I'm not a good writer. It wasn't me, it was God. Because God knew what I would do with the money from that book. And he says, and Rick says, if I were to keep that money from that book, I could retire on some island, you know, and having people come serve me drinks by the ocean and all this kind of stuff. He says, but God knew what I would do with the money. And Rick gives like 99% of anything he takes in, he just gives it away. So the whole idea of you can't outgive God. Try God. Test him. See if it's true that you can outgive God. See what God wants to do. Many times when we give, God gives us more. So I want to encourage you, give to this church. If God puts a ministry somewhere over, you know, maybe your church Tell your church about supporting that ministry or giving on your own to that ministry. God wants you to give. So it's not only pray, but it's giving, putting some feet to our prayers, and then going. Go. Going is important, okay? We don't go to church. We come to church, all right? Now we say, hey, we're going to go to church today, okay? But this coming to church prepares us to go into all the world and preach the gospel as you're going. Again, some of those things that I mentioned to pray for and pray about. Look to put feet to those things. God, how can you use me today? And when he speaks to you about being used, take a step of faith. Step out in courage and see what God is going to do for you. You know, ultimately, little yappy dogs and fat dogs, it's all about them, but it doesn't look to be a happy life, right? What looks to be happy? Not sweaters. You know, those dogs jumping in the water and all that kind of stuff, they look like they're happy. They look like they've got a worthwhile life. And I believe that we as Christians, God wants us to have that worthwhile life of being hound dogs for him by praying, by giving, and by going. So the question I have for you today, are you a hound dog seeking and saving the lost? Are you a hound dog seeking and saving the lost? Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. It's great that we can celebrate Missions Month for the month of October, all right? But every day is Outreach Day. Every day is Outreach Day. Whether you're at home, at work, at school, at a football game, whatever it is, every day is Outreach Day. As you are going, go into all the world. As you are going. How does God want to use you in the last 2 months of this year and 2022? How does God want to use you as a hound dog for him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you have called us for a great purpose to seek and to save the lost. Lord, we know that it's not our strength or our power or anything that we do to seek and to save the lost. It's just us being available to be used by you. Father, we thank you that it's you who does the saving, and it's your Spirit who gives us power. Lord, your word says that. It says we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we shall be your witnesses. Lord, help us to realize who we really are in Jesus Christ, and what is our purpose right here. Lord, I thank you for everybody here today. I thank you for those who will be listening to this sermon later, and I pray that you would challenge us, Lord. Challenge me to be in the hound dog business for you. Lord, and I pray for everybody here today. Pray for everybody. Lord, I ask that you would just challenge us and speak to us right now where we are and encourage us. Help us to see how we could be better hound dogs for you. And Lord, we thank you that we can come and talk about this today. But Lord, we do thank you. We do thank you that you have saved us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And nothing is by works or anything that can save us, but it's only through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.